Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Thanks for joining us here at Burden and Blessing. Today we are continuing our debate series. In this series of episodes, we have been trying to present both the Christian and the non-Christian viewpoint of particular topics. And up to this point in the series, these have all been topics that a Christian would disagree with. The topic that we're going to be talking about today is going to be just a little bit different. Mark and Neil are going to be presenting different sides of a coin that are usually going to be discussed by different sides within Christianity. The topic that we're going to be debating today is whether or not a Christian has to go to church. So in our debate today, Mark is going to be taking the affirmative viewpoint. He's going to be presenting that, yes, a Christian does need to be going to church. That is something that is important to them. Neil will be presenting the negative viewpoint that a Christian doesn't have to go to church and they can worship in whatever way they want. And so we're going to divide this up. We're going to give our negative speaker the first shot to kind of lay out the groundwork for that. So Neil's going to take our first point here. Mark will then respond. We'll have two rounds of that. We'll have a little bit of a summary, and then we'll come back to concluding arguments. In our discussion today of does a person have to go to church to be a Christian, why don't you get us started with your opening argument?
Yeah, Mark, I think it's nice we can discuss this a little bit further because, you know, when it comes to that question, does a person have to go to church to be a Christian? I really think I tend to agree with my cousin. He's a very strong Christian. He runs an Adventure Outfitters camp, and he would certainly say you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Really, he has an amazing perspective on God and life. You know, he says, you know, I'm closer to God when I'm out in the woods and wilderness, and both being on the road a lot, both him and me, we really have a lot of great spiritual conversations. And, you know, he really likes Psalm 19. We both do. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. It's certainly something, you know, he sees when he's out doing his camp groups. And, you know, we talk about James 4:8 together, you know, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And that's certainly something we see in our powerful Creator and what a blessing that is. And he specifically has spent a lot of time, Mark, personally studying, you know, Jesus 40 days in the wilderness, obviously something he can relate to, and that communion with his Father and that strength that he has, you know, in the Word. And it's something that, you know, my cousin really draws from a lot when he's out in the wilderness. And he listens to a lot of Billy Graham podcasts, and he really likes that God and Nature series based on Psalm 8, when I consider the work of your hands. And it's a really powerful, not only a powerful psalm, but a powerful section. You know, so my cousin and I really, both strong Christians, and, you know, I think we would definitely say, yeah, a person does not have to go to church to be a Christian.
All right, Mark, any thoughts in response to Neil's opening arguments?
Yeah, all right. Well, I appreciate that, Neil, and I certainly don't disagree that we can find evidences of God in creation, and that if God designed the world around us, it's going to testify of his power, and we're going to certainly appreciate that. I appreciate getting out in nature too, and understanding what God has given us and seeing his power through that. The question I have with how you connect this to church, though, is, isn't God more than just a God of nature? He tells us in his word that he's done a lot more than just create the world. And so what we're talking about today is not the beauty of creation, though we could agree on that. We're talking about the value of church for the Christian. And I think this really divides down to the theoretical versus the practical. Theoretically, I think somebody could argue that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I mean, we can probably all imagine a scenario where a person is born in an area where there's not a church, maybe in a country where there's not a church, and they still can use the word of God without having a formal church. But practically in our lives, if we have access to a church, the biblical method is to use that church, and that's a command by God. And so I'm going to lay down a couple of reasons here about why we should go to church if we're a Christian. number one, it's better than not going. You look at the way God describes church in the Bible, it's his design. You want to talk about God designing nature, we can agree that that's a good design. Well, why do you ignore God's design for our spiritual lives? He designed a community of believers to strengthen us. Why wouldn't we use that? There are certainly exceptions to that. We have shut-ins that can't get to church. Sometimes churches have members that live at a distance that have to use online. Sometimes people have work conflicts. Those are all exceptions to the rule. That doesn't disprove the rule that God designed it. The second point is that community is a healthy thing for us. We know this not just when it comes to church, not just when it comes to our spiritual lives, but even the secular world understands the value of interpersonal relationships and having a community to fit into. How much more so when it comes to a community that will build our faith? And then number three is that it shows priority in our lives when we take time for something. If God is important, which I think we're both agreeing that God is important, you have not disagreed on that point, why wouldn't we show a priority to listen to his word and to gather around that every week? Those are kind of some of the points. So I think my point comes down to the question more of why. If we have access to these things, why wouldn't we want to use them?
So we have gone through our first round. Neil has given his opening statement. Mark has replied with some of his rebuttal arguments. We're going to go into round two now. Neil, you have an opportunity again to present a few more arguments or to dig into a little bit more of some of what you would like to cover regarding your viewpoint.
It's interesting, Mark. You know, I think the way you describe some of those things, I would obviously agree with the practicality of it. You know, I'm a little offended that you would think that I'm or imply that I might ignore the importance of God's word in my life, because I feel like I just kind of said how important it is. You know, you talked about community. I mentioned my cousin having a lot of conversations about the word of God and the priority that I have to gather with Christ. I do that as often as I can. You know, as you know, I personally am a union welder in California, and we get contracted out to a variety of lengthy projects. And so I'm away from home for weeks on end. Plus, we've been deemed by the state an essential workforce at this time. But it sounds to me like you'd expect me to be in church every Sunday. That's impossible. This is what I went to school for. This is all I know how to do. The money is tight right now with the housing out here, and as we're living less than paycheck to paycheck, we have some major medical bills too. You know, I've heard the Bible says, I know I've read in the Bible that it says, I think in Timothy, that a man who doesn't provide for his household is worth an unbeliever, a heathen. It's not a matter of whether or not I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I'm a sinner and he is the only savior. That will never change. I will always believe that. You know, one of my favorite verses is Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And so I seek that in the word of God. I seek that to the best I'm able to with the way my lifestyle is. And it just sounds like that's not good enough for you. It kind of makes me sad.
Mark, your reply?
Well, I certainly didn't mean to offend you. I'm glad that you told me a little bit more about your personal life, because the first round was mostly about your cousin. So I'm glad to hear a little bit more about what you think and about the situation that you're going through. And I didn't mean to offend you, but what I was hoping to do was emphasize the importance of church. I'm glad we're discussing this. Certainly, we agreed to have this discussion together. So I hope that by bringing up the alternative viewpoint from what you are familiar with, you don't take that automatically as offense, but you're willing to hear that side. I hope you remember that in my first statement, I did mention that there are times where work conflicts can keep us from coming to church, and God doesn't necessarily forbid that. And so I understand the way you described your work situation. You may well be in a situation like that where you have to provide for your family, and right now it's a situation where you have to work on Sunday. I certainly wouldn't discredit somebody who has to go through a situation like that. But I think what we're talking about more in this discussion is not so much about the particular situations we're in, but about the mindset we have as Christians. What is our attitude when it comes to church? And it sounded like from the first thing that you mentioned that your attitude was different than the way the Bible describes the priority we should set on church. So I'm not speaking about your job here. I'm not speaking about being able to provide for your family. I hope you don't apply it to those situations alone. I'm thinking about, as Christians, what should our mindset be toward church? What should we be trying to do, if at all possible, in our lives? And I'm glad that you brought in some other Bible passages that give you comfort. The question I have is, if you value those passages, like you mentioned Matthew 11:28, why wouldn't you also value the passages that talk about the importance of church? Passages like Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Passages like Acts 2:42, where it says that the believers continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. What about Hebrews 10:25, where God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but encourage one another even more as the day approaches. I said theoretically, no, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but we're talking about our attitude. We're talking about our mindset. We're talking about how does this play out practically in our lives. And unless there's an exception in our lives, our mindset, God says, should be to value meeting regularly with other Christians in the church.
All right, so there's our first two rounds with Mark and Neil presenting their arguments for and against the importance or whether or not a Christian has to go to church. Neil has discussed the ability for a Christian to be close to God and to connect to God outside of church, and a lot of the distractions and the difficulties that many times we run into as Christians as far as work or struggling to provide for our families, some of those things that sometimes get in the way of going to church. Mark has emphasized the fact that God has designed church to be an important part of the Christian's life, that he has designed us to be interpersonal in our relationship and to need that connection with others, as well as this being a priority in our lives. And then he's also emphasized the idea of our attitude towards going to church, how we should look at the importance of that and view it based on many passages in God's Word. In this last section here, we're going to go back and we're going to give each one of them a final opportunity to present their closing arguments, presenting their case for why either it is important or it isn't important or not necessary to go to church. Neil, I'm going to give you the first opportunity here in your closing statement. Any closing thoughts?
You know, ultimately, I think that, you know, we continue to talk about this, Mark. I feel like, does a person have to go to church to be a Christian? You've already affirmed that no, they don't. You know, and what's interesting for me that I find when I go to church, it's one of the most hypocritical places that there is, you know, because you start to think about, okay, if we're talking about being a Christian, every time I can make it to church, we talked about my schedule and the difficulties of that, fine. I feel like you're okay with that to a certain degree. I'm not sure, but it's like everyone is so judgmental, you know, so why would we go to a church? Why would we go to church and as a Christian, when we're surrounded by people that are being very unchristian? For example, someone will comment to me when I'm able to make it, maybe like for a communion Sunday, for example, oh, I haven't seen you for a long time. Well, how do you think that makes me feel? You know, it's if we know that someone doesn't have to go to church to be a Christian and I'm being treated like an unchristian for coming, you know, or people just give me these looks and make me feel very unwelcome than being in God's house. So it's like, I come when I can, and you talk about the desire of being in God's house. I have the desire, but as I told you, I can't make it. But when I do come, I get this judgmental attitude. So doesn't it make more sense to be a Christian and not be at church than go to a place that's supposed to be called the house of God and then find this condescending attitude or this judgmental verse? You know, is it better to go to church then when that's all you find? So the desire is there. I don't think the attitude's in the wrong place. I think it's a matter of what is everybody else's attitude about being in church and what we're doing there together and how they're treating one another. You know, I think you say you're sympathetic to my situation, but at the same point in time, you're not letting up on what my situation is. And you're basically saying, yeah, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but now you're basically saying I'm not a Christian because I don't go as often as you go. It doesn't seem to make sense.
Okay, Mark, are your closing thoughts?
Well, I just wanted to address what Neil mentioned in the last part there before I add my closing thought. But again, the distinction I was making was theoretical versus practical. And I think you have to keep those two words in mind. And I think you also have to realize that when a Christian warns about the importance of something, it isn't always, sometimes it's done in a judgmental and hypocritical way. I think that's not necessarily the case for normal Christians though. And I'm certainly trying to share this with you and warn you about the importance of church out of love for your soul. And as in a desire to see you draw closer to God, not to push you further away, not to be judgmental of your attitude. And my guess would be that your fellow Christians who greet you at church and tell you that they're happy to see you, my guess is that that's the place they're coming from too, not to be judgmental. So I would be careful about assuming you know exactly what their intentions are just on the surface. And I think that's applicable just in pretty much every area of life. But you talk about the desire being there. I certainly sense that in what you say, but I wonder if the desire is directed at the right place. Because to me, this whole question really comes down to this. If we know where God is found, why don't we go to where that is? And God says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He says the word of God is the catalyst that drives our worship. But Jesus also promised, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there with them. Matthew 18:20. So if we know from scripture, and it's clear from our discussion, Neil, that we both value scripture. If God is making it clear that he's found in his word and that he blesses the gathering of Christians, whether it's 2 or 200, why would we not want to go where God is found? You know, if I need lumber for a building project, I'm going to go to Lowe's or Home Depot. If I need groceries, I'm going to go to the grocery store. If I need books, I'm going to go to the library. You go where your need is. And so if we know that God is present in church, if we know that his word is being taught there as it should be, if we know that Christ blesses that among believers, why would our desire not be directed in that area? Now, again, we can talk about exceptions all day long if we want to. And I understand you describe some unique settings in your life that make it harder to get to church. But when it comes to that desire, it should be directed toward what God describes in his word about where he's found. And ultimately, I don't know how we can be loving Christians if we know that and not share it with one another and not encourage one another to be in church, because that's exactly what God does for us.
All right. So there comes an end to our final statements. Just a reminder to our listeners that as we get together for this debate podcast, that what we're doing here is we're playing the role in presenting the arguments of many times a side with which we would not agree. Neil had the difficult task of presenting those arguments today in this particular podcast. What we're going to do now is we're going to take the gloves off, gentlemen, and we're going to discuss a little bit the way in which those arguments were presented and if we have any general thoughts on maybe other arguments that could have come up or if there's a better way that we could have approached this particular system. So, Mark, let's start with you. Why don't you give us some thoughts on some of the arguments that Neil presented? How well did he do?
Well, I think that Neil did a good job of hitting pretty much every area of argument that I've heard on this topic when I try to encourage people to come to church. And I don't know if Neil intended it this way, but one of the things I recognize is that he never really addressed the valid points I made. He just jumped to other arguments. And maybe he intended it that way, maybe he didn't. But I think that that's pretty common in this type of conversation, because when you look at what the Bible says about church, you can't ignore the fact that God says it's important and that you should be doing it. And that's where it gets down to the question of why. Why aren't you doing it? And so I was, you know, the first round, he talked more about his cousin than he did about himself. And so I was thinking, well, what do you think? And then the second round, I think that maybe exposed the nerve a little bit. And he got into really his situation. I think you'll probably find that to be common with people. My guess is that most of the reasons that people have for not going to church are kind of masks that they put on the outside to kind of cover the real reason. And maybe it takes a little conversation, a little bit of digging to get into the real reason behind it. And it sounded like Neil's obviously role playing. He's not a welder from California, but it sounded like if we had been able to develop this conversation more, that there were probably some bad experiences he had at church when he was younger, or situations that turned him off, that maybe we could get down to the root of it, that would kind of turn away all these barriers he was putting up to church. But I think that the way Neil approached it is pretty common and pretty accurate for most people who have some sort of an angst against church.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that he did a nice job of developing his arguments from the vague, the friend of mine, you know, that doesn't go to church, to himself. And then in his closing arguments, getting into the hypocrisy, the judgment, the non-Christian attitudes. So a lot of times, like you were saying, Mark, that's where you start to get into what's the real issue that's keeping people from church. Neil, any thoughts that you had as far as Mark's presentation in combating the arguments that you were presenting?
Yeah, you had said earlier, Nathaniel, it was a difficult task for me, and it wasn't, because like Mark had said, we run into this a lot. And so, you know, we're trying to encourage people to come. You know, I think Mark made a really good point in that first section, because he talked about the difference between practicality and, you know, theoretical, you know, the idea of, okay, what does the Bible say about dwelling with God? And Mark kept coming back to that point about what does the Lord say? And I did try to purposely toe that line to indirectly answer that question, you know, about my own personal or someone else thinks, but I didn't actually really address the scripture that he was presenting. In the very last session, I kind of touched on it when he mentioned the desire that the Lord wants from us. Well, I'd say the desire is there, but then I start blaming other people. And that's ultimately what Mark was saying, that maybe there's something else that happened earlier in my life. Or, you know, the one thing we don't talk about here very often is that when people do come to church, when they've been away for a while, for whatever reason, they have this sense of guilt. It's been a long time since I've been in God's house. And if they're looking at it, it's not church as a chore, but church as a blessing, like Mark was drawing out in that last part, the blessing of fellowship, the blessing of being in God's house, the blessing of hearing God's word, then I think ultimately what the person takes away from that discussion or that sporadic viewing is that everyone's judging me because I don't come as often as I know I should be here. And I think that's a huge point, because the Lord reminds us to remember the Sabbath day. It's every week. And then when we come back to that question, does a person have to go to church? No, it's a want to do. We don't, you know, and so I think Mark was pointing us back to that. I think he did a really good job of that, that he really shifted from focusing on my attitude, which would be guilt, to what is my attitude of love for the Lord? Why would I want to try to do that and not so much worry about the hypocrisy of others around me, which is always going to be the case because we're in a room full of sinners. But, you know, that ultimately is not forsaking gathering together. There's really no way around addressing that question. And so I thought Mark did a really good job of pulling those verses out, even though I was deliberately pulling scripture in to, as a Christian, to make my own case. I was ignoring some of those other passages that are really clear about it.
I agree, Mark. I thought that you did a nice job, especially in your opening argument, presenting three different things. And Neil's right that a lot of times we deal with this question and it's so familiar of a topic. But you pointed out that this is what God designed. So you can ignore it and you could say, hey, I can find God in nature. That's true. And as you pointed out, in theory, we don't have to be in church. There's a lot of unique situations many times. The question is it our desire? And it certainly is God's design. God tells us very clearly, this is what he has given to us. This is how he provides his blessings to us. One of the things that you didn't bring up, Mark, I noticed, was that you didn't touch on the sacraments in general. You talked about the word in general, but not the sacraments. Does either one of you want to touch on that particular topic?
One of the things I think is challenging, and I know it wasn't probably totally fair to throw Mark into the, hey, I'm in this different state, I'm all over the place, and again, kind of dodging the main question there, is that, you know, is there a way we can bring church to that person? Like, I really like this point of whether it's two people or 200 people, is there something that we could do as an individual to encourage them to be in, you know, right now with the COVID thing, are you watching live stream services? Can we get you to Lord's Supper? What can we do to serve you, even at the distance, even if you're on the road, or when you do come, you feel welcome because you know how everybody is connected. When's the last time you talked to a member? When's the last time you've talked to a fellow brother, sister in Christ, you know, from your church? You know, so a lot of these ways of connecting people to the sacraments, connecting people to their fellow believers, their fellowship of the church, I think is something that We want to try to be proactive. You know, the practicality that Mark talked about before is how can we make it practical for them, even if their life seems very impractical?
Yeah, I'd say Nathaniel touches on one of the areas that I feel like there's a hollowness, because I didn't really get to much of the gospel in my argument. And I think the talking about the sacraments is a prime example of the very, very apparent necessity of church when it directly applies to the gospel. And I didn't mention that, but here's the take that I was coming from in that. And this is a tough conversation to condense into half an hour. You know, I think for our listeners, if you're having this type of conversation with a relative or a friend or somebody who was a church member, you gotta be aware that it's going to be drawn out. You're probably going to have to, you know, try to hit it piece by piece and then go away for a bit and come back and talk about it. But my experience in these types of things is that, like I mentioned earlier, there's something going on in the person's heart deep underneath that is causing them not to want to be at church. And I think that's what manifests itself in the reaction of guilt, like Neil talked about. But you have to try to get down to that core issue. And that's what I was trying to do by almost kind of deconstructing some of their arguments on the surface to try to, it's almost like trying to dig down and down and down and trying to get to that core issue. And then you inject the gospel there. And so I wish I would have brought in the gospel more, but what I was trying to do is show Neil that I was genuinely listening to his arguments, that I was genuinely answering them. That just took up a lot more time in this immediate discussion. So it's a tough thing to walk, because looking back on just what we talked about today, I do feel kind of an emptiness that we didn't really get to the gospel as much. You know, that's kind of what I wanted to hammer away at on my final point. But I felt like if I didn't listen directly to what Neil said and address what he said, he would have used that anger deep inside to just say, oh, see, another example of this Christian person not listening to what I'm saying, just throwing these theological terms at me. And so that's the approach that I took. But it's a tough call to make, because we know that the gospel is really at the heart of it all. And that's why we got to get to church. And that's what this person needs. But you may not be always able to get to that right away in the immediate conversation as you're trying to show them that you're genuinely listening to some of these other concerns that really may just be, you know, trying to take you off in a different tangent because they don't want to deal with the real issue. So I think that's a valid point to point out, Nathaniel. I certainly felt that too. And I wish I would have had opportunity or maybe more insight into how to get the gospel in there more directly.
Well, I thought you did a nice job, Mark, of demonstrating that you were concerned about Neil, showing Christian love, showing concern for Neil. So I thought you did a nice job of presenting that, and not just trying to blast him or come at him hard or saying that you're not being a good Christian. You came at it from a very loving approach. And like you said, this is a difficult conversation to have in such a short period of time and in this debate format. But I thought it would be valuable for those that are listening to hear different ways that they could also approach this, or different thoughts to bring in if they have the opportunity.
Well, I think too, you want to understand, you can expect defensiveness, which obviously I got more and more defensive the more he kind of pressed me with some good scriptures and in an encouraging way. But I got defensive because I kind of knew where he was going with it. And it's already something that obviously bothered me. You can talk to people where it doesn't bother them anymore, and then you kind of have to bring them the law, you know. So I am definitely sympathetic to Mark about bringing in the gospel. But there's a certain point where I was saying in my playing there, I don't need it. I don't need to get together in God's house. I don't have to do that to be a Christian. And I think the way he countered that, I think was appropriate for the situation at the time, in a small amount of time, which most of the times we only have a small amount of time.
I just like to add at the end here too, I encourage our listeners to get into this topic, even if you're not talking to somebody directly about it. Just study it, get into the scriptures, ask yourself that question. Do I need to go to church to be a Christian? What does God's word say about this? Don't just take what your pastor says. Don't just take what you were taught in catechism class, but dig into the scriptures yourself, because these are valuable things for us to do. And this is valuable for my faith as a Christian, not just my job as a pastor, to analyze from scripture, to think about the arguments on both sides. And what it does is it causes you to appreciate what you really have in church even more. And I think it's a very beneficial thing. So just encourage our listeners to do that, even if you may not be in these situations right now.
Yeah, we have a really good pamphlet. I don't know who it was that put it together, but it's called What God's Word Says About Going to Church. There must be 50 or 60 passages on it that present different aspects of why going to church is important from the Old and the New Testament. And if that's something that you're looking for, a little bit more information than the passages that Mark mentioned in the podcast, feel free to send us an email and we'll get that pamphlet sent off to you. Thanks both of you for taking the time to go through this important topic. We pray that you who are listening will benefit from this, that it will be a resource to you as you discuss this for your own personal lives as well as in the lives of those who are around you. We hope that you'll come back and join us again for future debate podcasts as well. The Lord keep you.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.